ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ब्रह्मानंदम परम सुखदम केवलम ज्ञानमूर्तिम द्वंद्वातीतम गगन सदृशम तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ओम सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। नाउ वी आर डूइंग दिस टेक्स्ट वेदांत सारः बाय स्वामी सदानंद जी। लेट अस रीड दि मंगलाचरणम देन वी विल गो अहेड। अखंडं सच्चिदानंदं अखंडं सच्चिदानंदं अवांग मनस गोचरं आत्मानं अखिलाधारं आत्मानं अखिलाधारं आश्रये भीष्ट सिद्धये सिद्धये अर्थतोप्यद्वयानन्दान् अर्थतोप्यद्वयानन्दान् अतीतद्वैतभानतः तद्वैतभानतः गुरुनाराध्य वेदान्तसारम् गुरुनाराध्य वेदान्तसारम् वक्षे यथामति यथामति। वी सॉ द टीचर डिस्कसिंग दि अनुबंध चतुष्टयम् in this text. As I told you earlier, chatushtayam means a set of four, and anubandhaha means the factors which go with any text. So a set of four factors involved or which go with any text. And those four factors are Adhikari, the eligible student or the reader of the text, and Vishayaha, the subject matter discussed in the text, then Sambandaha, the connection in terms of the benefit we gain through the knowledge by reading this text, which means there is a connection between the subject matter, knowledge of the subject matter of the text and the benefit of knowledge. There is a connection between the subject, the text and the subject matter. Like this, we have the sambandha, connections. There's a connection between the one who reads this text and the text. The one who reads, one who studies, understands subject matter, is the pramata, and the praman, the text is the pramanam, a means of knowledge. There is a connection. He knows why he is reading the text, why he is studying this text. The connection, the knowledge of connection is very important. And between the by studying this text, I am going to understand subject matter. The understanding is going to give me some benefit. I also know that. Which means the connection between the knowledge and the benefit also has to be understood. There are connections, you know. And these connections are said to be sambandha. These connections are meant by the word sambandha. We'll see them later on also again. And the last factor is the prayojanam or phalam, the benefit of the knowledge we gain through the study of this text. So these are the four factors we discussed last class. And later on, the teacher straight away introduced the adhikari. And he takes each fact he is going to discuss. The first factor of the anubandhas, the first factor we discussed last class was adhikari. Adhikari means the one who is eligible, the qualified person for studying and understanding the Vedanta Shastram. So who is adhikari? So the teacher presents who is an adhikari. Here, the adhikari itself, who is adhikari itself, is discussed elaborately. It's very good to understand it. So once we know what is the qualification required for the one who wants to know the subject matter of the Shastram, then we'll make all possible efforts to become eligible. That is what discussed here. So last class we saw, adhikari is the one who is a pramata, the one who wants to know. You know, to read any book, what is the first qualification one requires? There must be desire for knowledge of the subject matter. But pramata is the one who wants to know, the jignyasuhu. And here, the subject matter of the text being the truth. So one who wants to know the truth, the reality, as the self, one who wants to know the truth of one's own self, is the one who is the eligible adhikari, pramata. And this pramata is the one who wants to know, is the one who is also endowed with the fourfold qualifications, which are going to be discussed later on. What are those fourfold qualifications? Even though I briefed last class, this author also is going to elaborately discuss those fourfold qualifications later on. And initially, we saw last class, this adhikari is the one who has studied the Vedas and Vedangas properly, you know, as enjoined by the as the rules and regulations enjoined by the Veda, which means he has not studied on his own anything, just merely getting the books, has, or the one who has gone to the teacher and directly from the teacher, as per the instructions of the scriptures, one who has studied the Vedas, at least his own branch of the Veda, one's own shaka, even, and also the Veda Angas, the sixfold auxiliary sciences, one who has studied. And this study of this Vedas, or at least his own, the branch of his branch of a given Veda, by studying that, by studying the sixfold Veda Angas, he is supposed to have got some general knowledge. General knowledge means he might not have got the in-depth understanding of all the mantras. He would have got some understanding of the entire Veda. As I told you, Veda Adhyayanam means only studying the chanting of the Veda mantras. And Veda Mimamsa means understanding the in-depth meaning of the mantras. This student, here is the one who has not yet understood the in-depth meaning of the mantras, but one who has studied the chanting of mantras, which means he, as part of which he also has studied the sixfold auxiliary sciences, Veda Angani. So definitely this person must have had studied Sanskrit language also. So because of his knowledge of the language, the Sanskrit language, and he is able to, definitely he must have been able to understand the general information presented in the entire Veda. Which means, when he was studying Karma Kanda, he would have understood the, he would have learned about the performance of rituals. He would have learned about the results of the performance of rituals. If I perform this particular ritual, I would benefit this way, I would get this result. And not only he would have learnt about the performance of rituals and rites, he has learnt about the benefits and the results of performing rituals also. And he also would have learnt about the limitations of the results, the performance of rituals and their results. The results of the rituals, the fruits of ritual, performance of rituals, can bless one, enjoy the pleasures in this world, can bless one with the pleasures enjoyable in higher lokas also, can bless one with, you know, security in terms of wealth, money, home, good wife, good children, good neighbors, good friends, good name, etc. Even the performance of rituals can bless one as a result of the, as a result, bless one with even the knowledge of the strength to live a life of dharma. Like that, performance of rituals can bless one with desirable ends, which can be enjoyed in this world, and the desirable ends which can be enjoyed even higher lokas after the death. Iha loka sukham, paraloka sukham. Pleasures, security and pleasures enjoyable in this world and enjoyable even in higher lokas, life after death. So he learns about the benefit of the performance of rituals and rites. He also knows the limitations of rituals and their results, which means even if he can enjoy the Paraloka Sukham, the pleasures, heavenly pleasures, which is much superior to the pleasures enjoyable in this world. Still, even the life in heaven, enjoyment of pleasures in heaven also are time-bound, because once the punyam gets exhausted, one has to come back to this mortal world again. Again, one has to be born again. Which means, as long as one has punyam, one can live in higher lokas, one can, in sukshma, in a form appropriate for living there. When the punyam is exhausted, one has to come back to this world. Which means, even the heavenly pleasures or heavenly life is not permanent. Heavenly life is not permanent. Enjoyment of heavenly pleasures is not permanent. Everything is time-bound, anityam. This also he understands. This is the most important thing. This person, this student, might not have got the in-depth understanding, in-depth vision of the meanings of all the mantras, but he has this general knowledge he might have got. He would have got, in fact. That's called apatata jnanam. Apatata jnanam means having a general knowledge of what karma can do, what karma palam can do, what it cannot do. Knowing the advantages of performance of rituals, knowing the advantages of performance of actions, and also knowing their limitations, the limitations of the performance of rituals, actions, and their fruits, what they can give, what they cannot give. This also he understands. And also one can learn from one's own life's experiences. Life's experience also teaches the limitations of everything here. Such a person, one who has learned from one's own life's experiences, learned what? Learned the limitations of one's accomplishments or others' accomplishments, that they cannot give what one really seeks in life. They have their own limitations. They cannot give everything. Our accomplishments, achievements can bless us with certain things, but not everything. Not permanent happiness. Not absolute peace. Definitely not. So any achievement, worldly achievement, can definitely give us what? Time-bound pleasure. Temporary peace, temporary freedom, but not permanent happiness or absolute peace. This also this person understands. This understanding of what the rituals, performance of rituals can do, how advantageous they are, how useful they are, at the same time, what the limitations are, how limited they are. This also he understands. Therefore, such a person, and how not only in this life, he might have understood this in his previous life, because of his previous life's experiences also, he might understand in this life. Because of the punyam he has earned through the performance of good karma and performance of these rituals, etc., in his previous life also, the understanding he can get in this janma as a result of punyam, or by performing those rituals and good karma in this janma also, he can get this understanding. This general knowledge somehow he gets, as a result of which one can decide to commit himself to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of all other pursuits. Such a person who later on becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of other pursuits is known as Vividisha Sannyasi or Anaishtika Brahmachari. I told you last class. Otherwise, if the person, in spite of knowing the limitations of everything, still if a person is not yet ready for committing oneself totally to the pursuit of knowledge, one can enter into a household life, get married, get into household life, and living a life of living one's life as a householder by living a life of karma yoga also, one might become mentally, adequately pure and steady. Such a person, the one who has lived a life of karma yoga, as a result of which one has become mentally pure and steady, and one has become qualified for this knowledge, and he is also an adhikari, or one can straight away take to life of Naishtika Brahmacharyam and commit himself to the pursuit of knowledge. Such a person is an adhikari. And last class I told you one more interesting, important thing. We have not studied the Veda. We have not studied the Veda Angas. We have straight away come to the study of the Veda Antashastram. Therefore, will we be qualified or not? That doubt might come to you. So I told you, we need not worry about that. Even if you have not studied the Vedas, even if you have not studied the Veda Angas, still you can become qualified. How? By understanding a life of karma yoga and by living a life of karma yoga, we can take care of our qualification along with the pursuit of knowledge, along with the study of the Shastram. The study of the Shastram will help you understand the importance of living a life of karma yoga. And living a life of karma yoga, you study the Shastram, so that it will contribute for what? Mental, the qualification required for knowledge, and thereby there will be, you can see class after class, the enhancing of your clarity. Therefore, both, help, both should go hand in hand, so that we get the benefit of having been a brahmachari in a gurukulam. You don't need to worry about it. At last, we saw this person having studied the Veda, who also would have performed all types of karma prescribed in the Veda. So, performing all types of karma prescribed in the Veda, as a result of performance of those karma, he would have become purified. He would have become qualified for this knowledge. That also we saw last class. And what are those karmas he would have performed? That we are going to see today. We are going to understand. What are all the types of karma prescribed in the scriptures? We'll see them. Here, this book is an excellent book that the author himself systematically discusses all these different types of karma, presents the subject matter so well, so that we can understand all of them. That's where we stopped last class. Remember? Anyway, we'll see that. Let us read that again today. A definition of an adhikari. Adhikarinaha lakshanam. who is adhikari? That is head here. Adhikari tu vidhivat adhita veda vedangatvena apatataha adhigata akhila vedarthaha vidhivat adhita veda vedangatvena apatataha adhigata akhila vedarthaha is one adjective, okay, for this eligible student. That I have explained to you already. Asmin janmani janmantareva, either in this life or in his previous lives, he might have performed, okay, he must be performing, he must have performed, or he might have performed in his previous lives, all the karmas, the rites, the actions prescribed in the scriptures. What are those karmas? Please remember, we are reading them for understanding, and do not feel bad or guilty that we have not done any of them. Okay? You are perfectly qualified to be in the class. At least the most important qualification is the thirst for knowledge, desire for knowledge, and desire for freedom. And see, the desire for freedom, I explained to you in the very beginning, in my introduction to Vedanta classes, I explained to you, desire for freedom is the most important qualification. If that qualification, if the desire for freedom is there, and you are eligible. Desire for knowledge is there, you are eligible to be in the class. And what other qualifications require? Mental purity, mental steadiness, that is what is required ultimately, finally, the qualification. How to get that, we'll see that also here. Okay, that's why. So here we are reading this to understand what are all the karmas prescribed in the scriptures that this person would have performed in his life or in his previous lives. So performance of such karmas helps him, you know, become purified. Ultimately would have helped him prepared, to become prepared, qualified for this knowledge, teaching. Therefore, they are discussed here. We'll see. Kamya Nishiddha Varjana Purasaram. Kamya Nishiddha Varjana Purasaram. So, he would have avoided Kamya Karmas and Nishiddha Karmas. Avoidable, to be avoided actions. What are they? Kamya karmas and Nishiddha karmas. Then to be performed actions. What are they? Nitya, Naimittika, Prayaschitta, Upasana, Anushtanena. So by avoiding Kamya Karmas, by avoiding Nishiddha Karmas, by performing Nitya, Naimittika, Prayaschitta Karmas, along with the practice of Upasanam, he would have become purified. Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashaha he would have become. Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashataya, having become the one from whom all the blemishes have gone. Which means what? He has become free from the afflictions of Ragadveshas. What does it mean? Becoming free from the afflictions of raga dveshas means, you know, the likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger. You know, if you are still afflicted by them, affected by them, you have yet to become pure. If you are able to, I'm not saying you don't have jealousy at all. In knowledge, you will be absolutely free from desire, anger, passion, hatred, greed, pride. They'll all just will resolve without making any effort. Effortlessly, without being chased away, they would have left and gone away from you for good. They would have become resolved totally in knowledge. They would disappear in knowledge. You don't need to undo them. But until this, but now the very study of the Shastram is for the knowledge. So until you attain knowledge, you need to have relatively disturbance-free, steady and pure mind. That relatively free mind, free from disturbances, relatively steady and pure mind is the mind wherein one's raga dveshas, likes and dislikes, desire in the form of likes and dislikes, passion, anger, jealousy, hatred, etc. are not absent, but they are very well managed. Intelligently, carefully managed. The one who is capable of managing these emotions is said to be the one who is relatively free from the afflictions. Understand? Therefore, he says here, Nirgata Nikhila Kalmashataya, such a person, Nitanta Nirmala Swantaha, very quiet minded, Nitanta, relatively he is very pure minded, perfectly he is pure minded, adequately pure minded. Nitanta Nirmala Swantaha means one who is adequately pure minded. Such a person who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications, with the desire to know what the truth is the adhikari. This is what he briefly defines an adhikari in this first sentence. When he goes to the next sentence, now this one sentence will be elaborately discussed. So we'll understand everything that has been said in this one sentence will be understood later on in the following lessons. Okay. So now we're going to go to the next sentence. Here he's going to discuss the karmani. Karmani means what now? Rituals or rites prescribed are the actions prescribed in the Shastram, the scriptures. What are they? He's going to systematically, he really explains these rituals, the karmas. When I say karmas, the word karma is some, I think all of you know this word karma, don't you? Okay. Kamyani. Kamyani means Kamya Karmani. You should take it as what? Kamyani, he mentions as Kamyani. Kamyani is equal to Kamya Karmani. Kamya Karmani means what now? Karma is a singular word. Karmani, plural word. You all know. Some of you know Sanskritam, some of you don't know Sanskritam. So even the simplest detail I'm giving you here. Karma, Karmani. Action, actions, or ritual, rituals, right or rites. Okay, so karma, karmani. So kamya means anything pertaining to, connected to, associated with desire is called kamya. in Sanskrit language, kamaha means desire, and kamya means anything, an action, a ritual or rite performed, no? Pertaining to this desire is called kamyam karma. Kamyam karma or kamya karma. Kamyani karmani. So rituals or rites specifically performed for the fulfillment of desired ends. Is it wrong? Not at all wrong. If we have specific ends to be achieved in our lives, if we have to fulfill certain specific desires, and you need to do specific actions, no, some given action to fulfill that particular end. What is wrong? Nothing wrong, isn't it? So, it's called kamyam karma. But here, the rituals, performance of specific rituals for accomplishing some specific desired ends. They're called kamya karmani. And here he is giving the example. What are those kamyani, kamya karmani? Swargadi, ishta sadhanani, jyotishthomadini. He gives an example here. What are the kamya karmas? What do you mean by saying performance of specific rituals or rites for the fulfillment of specific desired ends? What do you mean by that? For example, he gives example. The Karma Kanda of the Veda talks very highly of, describes very beautifully the heaven, heavenly life, and the enjoyment of heavenly pleasures, which is a matter for belief. We have not gone to Swarga, we have not enjoyed the heavenly pleasures, nor have we heard from the people who have gone to heaven and come back, okay, who have told us how nice the heavenly pleasures were. So we do not know. But still, Karma Kanda of the Veda talks about, discusses the heaven and the heavenly pleasures. Because Veda says, we do not deny, which means we cannot deny because we cannot disprove the existence of heaven. Nor do we need to accept because we cannot prove also. The existence of heaven cannot be proved, nor can, no, it cannot be disproved also. It is non-provable, non-disprovable, okay, matter discussed in the, stated in the Veda. So when it is described, so when you read, study the Veda scriptures, somebody comes and tells you, even the our travel agent, local travel agents, when they talk very highly of, present the beautifully, you know, the pictures of the, some cities, they don't put all the nooks and all the dungeon areas of the city. The beautiful cities, the pictures they put, and they you know, they put a tariff also, how much it costs, and then how beautiful the city is, and this much, when they, you know, when they advertise, the advertisement of the cities, etc., it really, it tempts you. You become tempted, and once you decide to go, somehow you see, keep on getting the emails from them, and then somehow one day you decide to go. Even if you reject 10 times, 11th time you will have thought of going. Isn't it? Definitely you will think about going. And next time, definitely decide and ask Satyamma. And then, she goes to many, all the time travels a lot. And then goes for a cruise and things. You know, people go for holidays. Why? How did you get the interest? How did you decide to go? You picked up interest, not through advertisements. Similarly, here also, by studying the scriptures, all the time, you know, knowing, because we have not really studied the proper scriptures. That's why we have not developed interest. We don't believe in heaven sometimes. Even if we believe also, we are doubtful. Because we do not know really what can be enjoyed there. So naturally, you cannot have desire for unknown things. Desire or passion is always for known objects, isn't it? So here, because people know, come to know about the extraordinary things about heavenly pleasant things, and they develop interest to go to Swarga. And it is not immediately after the death. Okay? Instead of coming back to into this world, assuming this body immediately, they can take a break from this world, go to higher lokas. Really, it is a holiday. How we all take a break from routine. August, September, Easter holidays, Christmas holidays, people plan their break from the routine work. Similarly, in Vedic times also, people were thinking, you know, to have break from the very, they knew definitely, Jatasya Mrityuhu Dhruvaha, for the one who is born, death is definite, unalterable situation. There's no way. Once you are born, there's a death definite. Death is definite for the one who is born. Mrityasya janma dhruvam. For the one who is dead, rebirth also is definite. That also we do not know. Shastram states, Bhagavad Gita, it is said, isn't it? For the one who is dead, birth is definite. You will come back. For the one who is dead, birth is definite. For the one who is born, death is definite. Which means, every time you are born, you should be sure that you are going to die one day. And once, before dying also, you can be very happy. You can accept, you can await the death happily. Why? You will come back again. This fact we do not really understand. So we are always scared of dying. But really, rebirth is definite. The one who studies Veda, one who has faith in the Veda, teaching of Veda, knows this. Definitely, I'll come back into this world. There is a punarjanma. There's no doubt for the Vedic student about rebirth. Why? Because his faith in the words of the teaching. Therefore, instead of coming back into this world for, let me have a small break. Not small break or a long break. It's a break. And that break is what? You can go to higher lokas, heaven, etc. And remaining there in a given form, not in this gross physical form. And you can enjoy the heavenly pleasures, etc. Like how you have sometimes very pleasant dream experience in dream. Similarly, one can have the enjoyment of heavenly pleasures. When a person reads the understands, such a person who really develops desire for the enjoyment of heavenly pleasures, in order to go to Swarga, he has a desire. That is what now? In order to get this desire fulfilled, he has to perform a given ritual. And the Shastram prescribes, in Karma Kanda prescribes, a particular ritual called Jyotishtomaha. Jyotishtomaha is a specific ritual. If a person performs this ritual called Jyotishtomaha, by performing that ritual properly as prescribed in the scripture, as a result of which, after the death, one can definitely go to Swarga. Why does a person perform Jyotishtomaha? Not for moksha, not for anything else. The specific end. So, Swarga Kamaha, one who is desirous of visiting or having break in Swarga, holiday, long holiday. Our Pujya Swamiji, you know, really says this. Our Veda is a tourism, you know, a ritual also, but no, tourism promoter in the sense. Veda also talks about this heaven, which means you can go to heaven. How do we say? It talks about Jyotishtoma. Swarga Kamaha Jyotishtomena Yajeta. May the one who is desirous of, you know, going to Swarga perform Jyotishtomaha. Veda says, so the one, the such, you know, performance of such rituals for accomplishing a specific end is called Kamyam Karma. Not only that, he gives one more example here. That's why, okay, one example he gives. Swarga Adi, not only heaven. Swarga Adi means heaven, etc. You know, any desire, not only the heaven, the desired end need not be only heaven. Sometimes children know, sometimes you, people who want to have even offspring, progeny, suppose they don't get, naturally they don't get children, and then there is a putra kameshti agaha. Now I want children. Somehow we didn't have, if we are very young, not old people, okay, very young, and still life is long way to go, somehow we are not able to get progeny, then the scripture prescribes particular karma. Putra kama ishti. Putra kama ishti. Ishti means a rite, a ritual performed for fulfilling, for the fulfillment of desire for children. Putra kama ishti agyaha. Sometimes the rains don't come, the rains fail. What will the farmers do? And the people, all of us are dependent on rains very much, because food is our life, and the life is dependent on rains. If the rains fail, then there is a particular ritual prescribed in the Shastram. We can perform as the specific ritual, and as a result of which we can get timely rains. If you ask, performance of those rituals, are they effective? Of course. If the rituals prescribed are performed as per the injections, as per the instructions of the scriptures, then definitely they produce the desired result, expected result. Okay, like that, so many, say Adini, Adini, etc. There's so many rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda, specifically for fulfilling our specific desired ends. Such rituals are called Kamya Karmani. Is it clear? Okay. Now we'll go to there's something called Karishti Yagaha. If you perform, you will get rains. Jyotishtomaha for heaven. Karishti Yagaha for rains. Putra Kameshti. For everything, not only few examples are given here. If you ask me, is it wrong to perform those rituals? No. It is not wrong. as long as we have desires, we will have definitely desires. As long as we do not understand the limitations of the ends, the desired ends, that they cannot give what we really seek in life. And still, if we are dependent on the fulfillment of those desired ends for our pleasures and for our happiness, then nothing wrong. We can perform those rituals and we can enjoy the benefit of those karmas. Okay, it's called kamyani karmani. Okay, next. Nishiddha karma. Nishiddha karma means nishiddham karma. So we say nishiddhani karmani. Nishiddha means prohibited actions. Prohibited actions. They're not rituals, but prohibited actions. So non-performance of prohibited actions. Okay, when you say prohibited means not to be performed, isn't it? The prohibited actions, the very word prohibited tells you that they're prohibited means what? The actions which are to be avoided, which are prohibited. What are the prohibited actions? See, there are some actions, especially killing. Not only killing, the actions involving hurt, killing, destruction, damaging, causing pain, causing injury, they're all prohibited actions. It can be physical, it can be oral, or maybe mental. So especially physical, oral activities which involve hurt, which involve destruction, damaging, killing, they're all prohibited actions. Not only them, not the, even when you say any action which, anything which involves hurt is a prohibited action, means even simply telling lies, no, not speaking the truth, speaking lies will cause hurt later on. Not when you speak, when the other person comes to know that you have told a lie, the person will feel very hurt. In the betrayal, anything, so which stealing, robbing, betraying, speaking lies, etc., which will cause later on hurt as a result of such an action. They're all, that's why all those acts, all of them come under what we say, that's why values, they all come under nishiddham karma. So any action involving hurt. And the example is brahmahatti doshaha, means what? Suppose killing a brahmanaha is a prohibited action because it incurs papam. So any action which incurs sin is a prohibited action. What is that action which should be prohibited, which should be avoided? Any action you do which transgresses the universal values, which is against universal values, the action which is not in conformity with the dharma, definitely will result in hurt. And the action which results in hurt is a papa karma, sin. So any papa karma has to be avoided. is a nishiddham karma. So as a result of it, suppose the papa karma will result in what? The wrong actions. Avoidance of wrong actions. So wrong actions are the prohibited actions. Which actions are wrong actions? We don't have good action or bad action. Okay? We have only right actions and wrong actions. These are good and bad, right and wrong. The actions which will hurt, which will result in hurting, are wrong actions. Papa karma. Therefore, here they all come under the category of nishiddham karma. That is why Shastram emphasizes values. The whole Bhagavad Gita, when it talks about the karma yoga, it emphasizes karma yoga itself, performance of all your actions. The daily life, living your life means performing actions. Isn't it? From morning till evening, what do? Once you wake up from sleep, until you fall asleep, what do? Whole day, we are all involved in some actions or the other. We have no choice, isn't it? About performing actions. But still we have choice over actions. So when we have our own duties. Because the whole day, in playing different roles, we choose to do a lot of actions. So in playing roles, we have to do a lot of actions. And all those actions we perform in order to play our role properly, and we should be careful that all our actions are in conformity with universal values. Only then, that's why dharma governed life means a life with dharma governed actions. So Shastra emphasizes dharma so much. Why? Because dharma anushtanam, living a life of values, is so important for us to be able to manage our emotions, manage our likes and dislikes, manage our jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. And also to become intellectually sharper, to become more alert. A very important thing we need to do is living a life of dharma. It means performing, doing carefully, prudently, right actions. We have to choose to fulfill our desires. Desires can be so many. Many desires can arise in our mind. Nothing wrong in having desires. It is not sin to have desires. Desires are not created by us. Desires just arise as part of us in our own mind. So having disease is not wrong, it's not sin. But in executing, now in fulfilling those desires, we need to perform actions. And there we have to choose to do our actions. You know, so refraining from actions which are wrong, which are not in conformity with the values, and choosing to do the right actions which are in conformity with dharma. So choice over actions with the discretion, you know, is what actually dharma, isn't it? It's a skill. It is what a skill, real skill. The person can be said to be a skilled person, an efficient person. According to Shastram, the efficient person, the skilled person is the one who has discretion in action. the one who can choose to do the right action carefully, prudently, one who can prudently, intelligently avoid the wrong action, for which he needs to exercise his knowledge of right and wrong, which he is blessed with. By making use of the common sense born ethics, the knowledge of right and wrong, one can choose to do the right actions, avoid the wrong actions. This is what the scripture says. So here, Nishiddha Karmani means avoidance of actions involving hurt. The prohibited actions. And also, Shastram says, Suram na pibet, may one not drink, no, may one not consume alcohol. Don't mistake me. I'm not saying you should not do, I'm just saying what scripture says. Suram na pibet, Kalanjam na bhunjita, may one not eat meat. Satyam vada, dharmam chara, etc. You know, may you speak the truth. May you live a life of values. No, like that. Even one should have appropriate relationship and attitude towards the opposite sex and also to one's own sex. Nowadays we have to say that also. Avoidance of improper, illegal relationship is also very important here. I'm not certain what is right or wrong. I'm only saying what the scripture says, okay? So it's all prohibited actions, stealing, robbing, etc. Therefore, this Nishiddha Karmani means the prohibited actions, performance of which will result in undesirable ends. Okay, who wants undesirable ends? Unhappiness, sorrow, sadness, grief, emotional pain. You know, who wants actually undesirable ends? Therefore, the actions, performance of which will result in undesirable ends, are to be prohibited. They said to be prohibited actions. Okay? To be avoided actions. Nishiddha Karmani. Okay. Now we'll go to the next one. Nityani. Okay. Nishiddhani, let me read it. Definition he gives. Narakadi. Now we see that Nishiddhani Narakadi Anishta Sadhanani Brahmana Hananadini Narakadi Anishta Sadhanani. Naraka means hell. Hell means we do not know what hell is. Like how we do not know what heaven is. We do not know what hell is also. In fact, scriptures also talk about Narakam, the hell, where one has to, you know, only suffer pain. There's no enjoyment of pleasure, but suffering only pain. We do not know. So if we do continuously wrong actions, adharmic actions, the prohibited actions, which means we are all the time disturbing the universal harmony, we do not know how our wrong actions disturb the universal harmony. I tell you, if you see a tree by the side of a small pond, wherein there's a clear, still water is there. And from the tree, the water remains still. From the tree, one small dry leaf falls into that still water. Even the falling of the very weightless dry leaf into the water, the still water of the pond, that stillness is disturbed. Why should there be disturbance? Disturbance is seen in the form of the ripples. The leaf falls, then the ripples come. And those ripples immediately do not stop. The ripples go round and round and round, and they go and hit the shore and then lash upon the shore and comes. It takes some time for the water to come back to the same stillness. Understand? This is how any action, whether we like it or not, whether we do knowingly do it, unknowingly do it, intentionally or unintentionally we do the action, that action definitely produces the result. And if our action is if our action transgresses the values, transgresses dharma, then definitely that is wrong action, which really disturbs the stillness of universal order, law and order. We do not know how a small action we do, a small lie I tell, at least I want to cheat a little bit. You know, there's so many people cheat so much. You know, if I cheat somebody, I betray somebody. Only I'm good to everybody. Only one person I betray. So what? Look at our smallest action. We do not know every small action. Our action does produce a result. If when our action goes wrong, I tell you, we are disturbing the stillness of the universal law and order. Is it clear? Therefore, here nishiddham karma. That's why any action, that's why our actions must be in conformity with dharma. So the nishiddham karma and the prohibited actions will produce anishta sadhanam. Anishta means what? Undesirable, non-desired, unwanted, undesired ends. If we do this performance of the prohibited actions, the performance of wrong actions, adharmic actions, will result in definitely don't blame afterwards Bhagavan. Okay? They will definitely result in undesirable ends. What undesirable end? What is unwanted? Sorrow, grief, sadness, emotional pain, suffering, even physical suffering, any suffering. Okay, therefore, prudently avoiding the wrong actions is important. So here, nishiddha karmani, he also gives, that's why, anishta sadhana. So he talks about narakam also. Naraka means hell, no? Where one suffers a lot. So narakadi anishta sadhanani means the actions which will result in undesirable sorrow. He also says brahmana hananadini, such as killing the brahmana, etc. Not only killing the brahmana, you know now I elaborately discussed here. Okay, we'll go to next now. Nityam karma. So nityani, he says nityani. Nityani means nityam karma, nityani karmani, nitya karmani. I told you the word nityam literally means always, but nityam karma means compulsorily performed duties. The actions which are to be performed compulsorily. So compulsory duties. What is a compulsory action? What is that action should be done? See, prohibited actions are the actions to be avoided. The actions to be done here, we are going to see here. Akarane pratyavaya sadhanani sandhyavandanadini. Okay. See, the nitya karma, the actions which are compulsory are said to be those actions. The non-performance of which produce papam, produce the sin. Sin means what? The sin which will result in the suffering, which will result in pain, sorrow, sadness, grief, disease, illness, etc. Therefore, here, nitya karma means a compulsory duty, the non-performance of which will result in papam. And here, that papam is mentioned by a specific word called pratyavaya doshaha. Pratyavaya doshaha means papam, sin, type of sin. When do you get that? Not by doing the prohibited action here, by avoiding the compulsory actions. How performance of wrong actions, prohibited actions result in pain. Here, the non-performance of some actions will result in sin. They have to be performed. If you do not perform, they will result in sin, and that particular papam is called pratyavaya doshaha. What are those actions? One's own duties. That's why it's very important for one to know one's duties and to perform one's duties. If you do not do a duty also, it's a papam. Negligence of one's own duties, shirking one's responsibilities also is a papam. Therefore, see, performance of, suppose if we do not perform nitya karma, if we perform nitya karma, what do I gain, if you ask? If I perform his compulsory duties, what is the benefit? If you perform duties, if you perform the nitya karma, you can avoid sins. And not only that, you also get good samskara, good vasanas. See, our the subconscious can be, you know, really our subconscious also will be cleansed of the previously earned some wrong, undesirable vasanas. Cleansed. Therefore, for good samskaraha, to have good vasanas, the nityakarma, performance of nityakarma helps. Not only that, you can avoid the pratyavaya dosha. Therefore, one has to perform nityakarma, the compulsory duties. For example, you can ask, should I worship? Worship and prayer. According to the scripture, worship and prayer is a nitya karma, compulsory action. So what if I don't worship? So what if I don't pray? We worship, don't worship, so what? See, worship itself, I explained to you already in the class. So, Deva Pujanam, Nitya Karma, compulsory, which is an action through which is a symbolic act of offering, through which you express your thanks to Bhagavan for all that you are blessed with. And with this worship being a will-involved action, it is very effective. And also Panchamahayagyas we discussed. Now Panchamahayagyas means, you know, it's all Nitya Karma. Of all the Panchamahayagyas, see, Deva Pujanam, worshipping the Lord is a compulsory thing, action. And you're doing your duties is a compulsory action. What is my duty? One has to know. You have to know your duties. You have to do your duties. A manushya yajna. Now, being good to fellow beings and doing the needful within, you know, to the extent possible. Manushya yajna. Manushya, worshipping the fellow human beings? No. So doing the needful for the fellow beings, not to the extent possible, being friendly, you know, with the presence of mind, what is possible, let me do something for some fellow beings. This is also a form of worship. Bhuta yajnaha. I don't hurt other beings, I don't hurt other animals, not only human beings, I also do my best, you know, for other living beings. You know, I water the plant which is dying. I don't go unnecessarily go and cut trees if they are not harmful to me. I don't kill or hurt. Not only I don't hurt my fellow beings, even I don't hurt other living beings also, which is, comes under Nishiddha Karma actually. But still, this is a Bhuta Yajna. Not only you don't hurt, you also try to do what is possible for them, for their well-being. So doing something for the well-being of other fellow human beings, also other living beings, is also what? Nitya Karma. Not every day you don't need to go in search of who is suffering. With the presence of mind. Okay, when there is a necessity. So, Bhuta Yajna, Manushya Yajna. And then even the study of the scripture, Rishi Yajna. Every day one must make it a point to read at least some pages of the Shastra. At least listening to some scripture like this. It's also compulsory duty. Whether you do it every day, or not, it's a compulsory. Okay, so here he says, if we do not do the nitya karmas, definitely it will result in pratyavaya dosha. So pratyavayaha means what? There is something called Angirasa Smritihi. And Angirasa Smritihi defines this pratyavaya dosha. Prayo nama tapaha proktam chittam nischaya uchyate tapo nischaya sanyogat prayas chittamiti smritam. Don't worry about it, I'll tell you. So prayaha means here tapaha, tapas. Chitta here means nischayaha, definite. So the tapas, the penance, the austerity are the performance of which definitely helps you avoid the sin. Okay. Therefore, it removes the papam. The performance of compulsory duties definitely prevents you from accumulating. Here what? The pratyavaya dosha. We are still nitya karmani. So, and here he gives example, sandhya vandanadini. Sandhya vandanam is actually daily worship. Those days, earlier I said, prayaschitta, that you can wait for other karma. We have not come to prayaschitta karma, I'll tell you again. See, we are still nitya karma only. We have not gone to prayaschitta karma. See, Sandhya Vandanam, when you say, Sandhya Vandanam is a daily worship to be done by a Vaidika 3 times a day. Morning, in the afternoon and in the noon. At the time, in the dawn and noon and the dusk. 3 times a day supposed to worship. And then he invokes, he performs this particular he worships and he invokes the grace of the Lord and of Son. And he also supposed to recite Gayatri Mantra 3 times a day. This is specifically prescribed for the person who has been initiated to study of the scriptures. So you just don't need to worry about it. We have our own some japa. So daily japaha. So daily repetition of a mantra, daily mantra japaha, we can take it as a daily mantra japa. Doing some mantra japa regularly is also very important. Nitya karma for our own purification. Is it clear? This is the nitya karma. I will go to the next one. Naimittikam karma. So, you know what is Pratyavaya Dosha now? Pratyavaya Dosha has nothing but, that's a name given to some sort of papam which will result in your pain and sorrow, which you will incur only if you do not perform your compulsory duties. Okay? Then, Naimittikam Karma means, Nimittam means, a karma which is connected to something is called naimittikam, nimittam. Nimittam means for that purpose, isn't it? Naimittikam, something associated with a karma performed in association with some event or something. is called Naimittikam karma. These karmas are not performed daily, but occasionally they performed. So certain karmas, certain actions, rituals had to be performed occasionally, not every day. What are they? For example, the child is born in the family. He gives the example. Look at this. Naimittikani. Naimittikani karmani means the actions or rituals or rites performed in connection with, in association with, in connection to, in association with some event or some situation. He gives example. Putra janmadi anubandhini. Putra janmadi anubandhini. Jateshtyadini. Putra janmadi anubandhini. Jateshtyadini. See, jateshti. Jata means birth. Ishti means worship. Jateshti means a rite or ritual to be, like how you all know antyeshti. No? A ritual to be performed after the death of a person is called antyeshti. Somebody died and if there's certain rituals they do. 31st day Sri Lankan Tamils, they do that on antyeshti. No? When the person dies, and after the death, the family members perform certain ritual, right? Which is called antyeshti, the last ritual performed for the person after the death. He doesn't do it. Other members of the family performs for the well-being of the departed soul. It's called antyeshti. When is it done? Occasionally. Not every day, isn't it? Only after the person dies. Others do it. Family members do it. So, jateshti, we have jateshti. Jateshti means what now? When the child is born and there is a ritual rite to be performed, no, which is connected to the birth. Antyeshti is connected to the death. This is connected to the birth, isn't it? There are rituals and rites associated with birth or death or in between birth and death, certain occasions. Vivahaha. Only time of marriage certain things have to be done. Like that we have certain things. Therefore, certain karmas which have to be performed occasionally in association with the given event or given situation or given thing is called Naimittikam karma. It means there is a purpose. Why you are doing a particular ritual called Jateshti? Because a child is born, therefore, only at that occasion you do, not every day, isn't it? Now, similarly, suppose every year, once in a year, or once in a month, when ancestors, some elders in the family die, after the death of the grandfather or grandmother or father or mother, then the rest of the family members perform certain rituals. Once a month they do, it's called Masikam. Or once in a year they do Varshikam, Varshiki Tithihi, Masika Tithihi, once in a month or mainly once in a year they do. It's called Shraddham, Pitru Karma, it's called Pitru Karma, ancestral worship. So ancestral worship, once in a year, and it is done. The day of the death, they worship, they think about them. Certain ritual is prescribed for to be performed. Others have to perform. Naimittikam karma. This is also important to do. It doesn't talk about the punyam or papam. If we do it, definitely it's a punya karma. If we do not do it, you don't incur any papam. But it is very important to perform those actions. Naimittikam karma. Is it clear? Now we are going to the prayaschittam karma. Prayaschittani. So what is prayaschittam karma? what I said, earlier I said, prayaschitta karma means the certain rites or rituals performed specifically for removing, eliminating or nullifying the ill effects of the past wrong actions. Sort of worship. Karma means any rite is a form of worship. You have to understand that also. Worship and involving prayer. So here he says, Papa Kshaya Sadhanani. See, the performance of this particular prayaschittam karma is a name given to particular, certain rites and which serve as means for removing the old papams and neutralizing the old papams. Oh, very interesting. We were thinking what? Prarabdha karma palam. We accumulate prarabdha. No way. You have to go through prarabdha. There's no way of undoing prarabdha. Anyways, all destiny. So let us not do anything. I tell you, strong, of course, we cannot undo totally our prarabdha. But still, worst effects of prarabdha, ill effects of prarabdha karma can be to some extent neutralized, managed, okay? Sometimes nullified also by doing certain karma, certain rites, and those karmas are said to be prayaschitta karmani. That is why we can say expiatory or we can say purifying actions. They purify. How? By neutralizing your previous papams. If we go to astrologers, taking your chart, when do we go to astrologers? I don't know whether in this country you all do this. And here also people might do. Suppose somebody predicts death, you will die next year this time or after 3-4 years you will die. Then let me go and do tapas, I want to live for thousand years. See, we have to be intelligent. We have to understand certain, it's like, no, I want the fire to really become cold, so let me do some tapas. What is there any prayaschitta karma? How to convert this, how to have sun throughout the winter in London? For any prayaschitta karma, it's a suffering, isn't it? It is such foolishly we do not do that. Therefore, here when we go through really unbearable suffering and pain in our lives, and definitely we have certain, we can really do some karma, Shastram prescribes karmas, by performing which we can really manage those difficult situations without becoming insane or mad, or without losing our heart, without making wrong decisions such as, let me commit a suicide, etc. We can really, can manage and we can overcome those tough situations, hard times, and we can still continue to live our life to make this life a meaningful one. That's why, understand, so this prayaschitta karmas. So only when we go through difficult situations in life, that is when people think of their horoscopes and charts. If everything is going smoothly, nobody cares for the horoscopes and nobody will go. When times are not okay, we go through lot very hardships in life, then we think of our horoscope charts, and we search for astrologers, and who is available on which newspaper, And now they also know our problems, weaknesses, and they also inform us, call us on this number, etc. So we go. And then there's suppose genuine astrologists who can really have some knowledge, proper knowledge of astrology. I mean, they make appropriate predictions and they will tell you, yes, your time is not really that good. Okay, may do this worship. Worship, do this japam for this many days, or go to this temple, or do this puja. You know, like this something, they also prescribe certain karmas. Not that they will totally remove everything that you go. Sometimes, in keeping their punyam, they may remove. Or sometimes, they will help, like bless you with the strength to manage. Sometimes, they give you the strength to overcome that. Also, like that, this is such an karmas are prescribed. It's called prayaschitta karmani. So, prayaschitta karma means a karma specifically, a rite specifically performed to neutralize the old papas. So, papakshaya sadhanani. And here he gives an example called Chandrayanam. The author gives an example. Is there such a karma called prayaschitta karma? He gives example, Chandrayana Adini. There's so many prayaschitta karmani. There's so many rites, performing which we can utilize our papams. One such ritual is, only he gives one example. Doesn't give the list of all the rituals, all the rites. He just gives example of one rite called Chandrayanam. Very interesting to know. Now what is Chandrayanam? Ayanam means movement. Chandraha means moon. So Chandrayanam means the movement of sun. Which means on full moon day, it's a vrataha. More it is more a vrataha vratam. And the 15th, on full moon day, this person eats 15 morsels of food. No? And every day, and the next day, 14. And following day, 13. Next day, 12. Again, following day, 11. He reduces one morsel of food every day. And there's a new moon day comes. Last day, he has only one morsel of food. And on new moon day, he fasts. 15 morsels to 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, nil. Again, after Amavasya, after new moon day, again he'll start. Start with one morsel. One, two, but after fasting, you'll feel like eating more? No. One, then he increases. Second day, two morsels. Third day, three morsels. Like that, three handful, four handful, he increases. Again, full moon comes, 15. Full, is it, meal. Again starts. Like that, in keeping with the movement of the moon, is it? Whether it wanes or it grows. We call Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha. After full moon, start. Eat well on full moon day and start reducing one morsel every day. And on 14th day, you have only one morsel of food. And on new moon, fast. Again, start with one morsel, then increase every day one. Again, full moon. In a whole month, you have two fortnights. So, this is called what now? Chandrayana Vrataha. It is one particular prayaschitta karma prescribed in the scripture. One. You don't need to follow and don't faint in the office, okay? It's only just an example. You're not asked to do this. Just inform. So one example he gives. Like that, there are many rites prescribed in the scriptures. By practice, by following which, by performing which, one can really take care of one's unbearable, manage one's situations, which we go through as a result of our past papa karmas. That is why he says, papakshaya sadhanani. So, prayaschitta karma means only what? The rites performed for neutralizing the old papams. Not the punyam. Punyam you happily enjoy, no? We don't want to undo or escape our punya karma palam, pleasures. We enjoy pleasures. Only papa karma palam is what? Pain comes, we have to manage. For which prayaschitta karmas? Okay? Earlier, suddenly I was just mentioning this and defining this prayaschitta karma. The only now I have to define. So what is prayaschitta karma? That is said in the Angirasa Smritihi. Prayo nama tapaha proktam chittam nischaya uchyate tapo nischaya samyogat prayaschittam iti smritam. It is not in your book. It is Angirasa Smritihi. It defines this particular smriti statement, defines what is prayaschitta karma. So prayaha means tapas. It means a vratam. Have you heard of this word vratam? Some sort of penance. Vrataha. Vrataha. So chittam means definiteness. Nischayaha. Therefore, the tapas, the penance or the austerity by following which definitely one can become free from the ill effects of wrong actions called papa karmas. Understand? Okay. This is the prayaschitta karma. Is it clear now? What is prayaschitta karma? See, prayaschitta means the penance or austerity which definitely removes the ill effects of wrong or papa karmas, wrong actions. The previously unknowingly or knowingly done papa karmas. Have you understood? Okay. So the rest are things we'll see in the next class. So people who have come newly today, don't be frightened of this today's class. And we will next week or sometime, if we come on Saturday or next following Thursday, if we come early, then I can brief you so you'll be in the class. Okay? We're just still the beginning. We have not done much. You understand very well. I mentioned this definition of prayaschitta karma even when I was talking about nitya karma, so don't get confused. So, okay? Hope I think all the karmas are very clear now. Clear or not? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.